2021 should be a year of reckoning in federal politics, and that's from someone who's had experience of the culture, former Democrat Senator and leader Natasha Stott-Despoja. She says there needs to be widespread change, and she'll outline her thinking at an International Women's Day breakfast in Adelaide this morning. Ms. Stott-Despoja chairs Our Watch, a group aimed at preventing family violence, and she's also Australia's representative on the UN's Committee for the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. She joined me earlier. Natasha Stott-Despoja, how would you characterise this moment in politics?
Well, I'm hoping it's watershed. I think the impassioned words of Grace Tame this week and the appalling events surrounding our national parliament have provided momentum. People are angry and sad and feeling triggered, but I feel that there must be change, and I think this is the time for this change to take place.
You'll tell that breakfast this morning that Parliament needs a sweeping and wholesale review of its practices and culture. What does that look like?
Well, as broad-ranging as it sounds, first of all, we need to know what the people who are working and have worked in that place, specifically women, we need to know their experiences and what they recommend. But apart from codes of conduct and changes to policies that protect staff from sexual harassment, abuse, and better reporting, you know, procedures in place, you need cultural change. And that involves people understanding the role of gender inequality, top-down reform. So this has to be embraced by all, from the Prime Minister and his cabinet ministers and beyond. So it's about more women in the parliament, more diversity and difference reflected and represented. And that might actually mean some men giving up their seats. I'm not sure if that will happen, but it's time. It's time for not just critical mass, it's time for equality in every sense.
It's expected that Minister Simon Birmingham could outline the review today. Your name has actually been bandied about. Have you spoken with him, and how would you like to contribute to that?
Well, I have spoken to the minister, and certainly hope that he will have a review that is informed and that is wide-ranging. I think the fact that he's consulted with people like me indicates that he is talking to people from a range of perspectives and certainly political backgrounds. I won't be leading that review. I think there are mechanisms and people who are best placed to do that, including our Sex Discrimination Commissioner. But I can tell you, Sabra, I will be contributing to that review if given the opportunity. I think not just my work as a chair of a foundation to prevent violence against women and children and promoting equality, but I feel very strongly as a former staff member at one stage and certainly as a former senator. I think people need to inform the powers that be as to just how toxic that culture has been and been like that for decades.
All right, let's talk about some of the points you've raised. You believe more women in Parliament are needed. How will that happen, given what's been exposed in recent weeks? And given, for example, promising talent, you've mentioned her, the Australian of the Year, Grace Tame, she specifically ruled out a political career this week.
Yes, I admit my heart broke a little when she said that, and I qualify that by saying I understand that there are different avenues through which you can make a difference, but I don't want to lose compassionate and principled people. And I especially don't want to lose women generally or the next generation specifically. We need diversity and difference reflected and represented in that place. And I'm scared, and I know this for a fact from the research, that women are put off parliamentary careers. And I hate to think what this period has meant for women who might have been contemplating a parliamentary career. But my message to them is take over Parliament. You know, don't give up on Parliament because it's given up on women. It's time to have our difference and diversity in that building, because we know that it will make a difference. It will make a difference to policies that affect women and children, but it will also be fairer, and it's the right thing to do.
On the ideas for change, the British and Canadian parliaments, I think, have a code of conduct that applies to all staff and MPs. And in Canada and Europe, MPs actually must sign a commitment to help create a work environment that's free of sexual harassment, or they actually become disqualified. Are things like that needed here?
Absolutely. And any code of conduct or policy mechanism has to be enforceable. But it's not just people behaving in a way that says, oh, yep, I will sign this piece of paper or I will adhere to this particular policy. It is also about people's attitudes, and attitudes and behaviour are not linear. We need to change some fundamental beliefs and attitudes that people have, including people in our, you know, in our parliaments. They need to generate an understanding that women deserve equality. We deserve equal respect, and we need private and public environments in which we're not only treated appropriately, equally and respectfully, but we need to be safe. And people have to understand that in their own lives. I want our politicians to model, you know, respectful, ethical, equal relationships themselves. And I don't see that happening yet. But certainly enforceable mechanisms are an important start, but they have to go hand in hand with cultural change.
In your time in Parliament, both as an MP and staffer, were you subjected to unwanted harassment, and did you feel empowered to be able to do anything at the time?
I certainly was the subject of, you know, harassment, sexism, ridiculous stereotypes. Some are funny, you know, did I get into politics to meet a husband? And then others that are actually demeaning and upsetting. I look back now, Sabra, and realise there were very few days, let alone weeks, that went by without references to my appearance or even my love life. Should I show my legs more? That was one from a Senate colleague that I got on a regular basis. As a staff member, yep, pursued by married male MPs who were offended if you rebuffed them. Honestly, I look back and I don't think that my situation is different from many women from not only that time, but unfortunately from now. And that's what pains me. I think the difference, though, is that people are allowed to and are being emboldened to call out these behaviours, and that's making change. Because in the past, when we did, we were precious or princesses or humourless feminists. And now I think change is inevitable. I feel this tide of change and I have to believe it's going to take place.
Our listeners would want me to ask you about the past week with the rape allegations that have been aired against the Attorney General. He denies it. There are calls for an independent inquiry. The alleged victim's family and friends both want that. You are an Adelaidean. There are chances that you might have known her. How should this be dealt with?
There are personal connections in this situation and in Adelaide. I think the way the government has handled this, so even the process, saddens me and angers me as much as obviously the absolute horror nature of the allegations themselves. I don't see how you can avoid an independent inquiry now. I think there's an issue about how we treat the stories of women and victims and survivors, and this government has demonstrably failed. As Grace Tame commented in her press club address, you know, I don't sense any empathy from the powers that be, and I certainly think a lot of victims today and a lot of survivors really need solidarity and support.
Natasha Stott-Despoir, thank you for talking to AM.
Thank you, Sabra.
Natasha Stott-Despoir is the chairwoman of Our Watch.